Thank you, Pastor Jermaine. It's good to see each and every one of you. I'm so glad that you're here with us this morning, and I especially wanted to greet everyone that was watching on that is watching online today. We are we're glad that you're tuning in, and so happy to have you. And if and I guess you're over there on that camera, so maybe I'm looking right at you. But what I wanted to invite you to do is to also have communion handy. If you don't have grape juice and bread, you can substitute that just as long as it's something that's meaningful when we go to that time to break bread together. And I want you to know that you're included in that, that the Lord's table is welcoming all, and it even stretches past this location, but into your homes as well as the hope. I'm so thankful that we're having this time to gather. It was kind of a nail biter when it got so cold and the roads iced up, and I'm just so excited about the fact that it's sunny today and we can be together. So let's go to God in prayer as we continue thinking about the question, why church? God, we are here once again. And together in these moments, we open ourselves up, knowing that you already know what's going on in our lives. And God, sometimes when we feel distant from you, it's because of our own choices. And so today, God, I pray for those among us that might need a new start, a fresh chance, a chance to be honest and vulnerable and to lay down burdens that we might be carrying so that we can have a future that's filled with hope and that we could run the race that you've called us to run. So God, I ask once again that you would speak through me and in spite of me, that we would open up to hear your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So continuing in the series, Why Church? We came to one reason why church that's a little deeper. And that is that we're broken people. And that we need the assurance that we're forgiven. And sometimes that's painful. Sometimes that's difficult for us to come to admit. And yet it's necessary for us. And so we hold one another accountable in church. And that's a blessing. We get the sense there was a something a pastor said years ago, and it was both of these things are true. And one was that God loves you just exactly the way you are and always will. God will always love you and welcome you with open arms when you return to God just exactly as you are. But then there's a growing in that grace. You see, it's just as you are, but the second part of that was, but way too much for you to stay that way. Which I kind of like, that we're accepted and loved just as we are, but still we have growing to do. Last week we talked about that statement. Maybe you remember the Hebrew phrase. If you were here last week, we talked about the statement that it's the response of a faithful person when God calls. And all through the Old Testament, you hear this call. God calls someone maybe to a ministry or to action. And the call is sometimes your name being called twice. But the response is, here I am. Here I am, Lord. You remember the Hebrew? Hinene. It was fun to say around the house. You call the kids and you say, hey, where are you, kid? And they say, Hinene. Here I am. You try it out around the house. But this is, there's another kind of way to respond when you hear that. Another way that we might say, here I am, and that's when we hear God calling, but sometimes it's we want to hide We remember the original sinners in the garden when they'd sinned, and God still wants that relationship with them. God still wants to be walking in the cool of the evening with these humans. And they have sinned, and so there's this division that starts happening. Adam says, "I heard you calling, but I was scared and I hid." And I think that's our story too. Sometimes we'd rather just hide those things. And so in some ways, a reason why the question, why church? It's because we're in recovery. We're a recovery group together. There is a phrase that's used in recovery groups. It's you're only as sick as your secrets. Sometimes we keep those things really close to our hearts, those things that we don't want to share with anyone. And so we look at our scripture this morning is from Psalm 51. There's this beautiful prayer of King David. And King David was a man after God's own heart, it says in the scriptures. But it wasn't because he was this great, wonderful king. It was because he had this relationship that was unfailing with God. He was convicted. And he prayed this most honest prayer. And maybe this is your prayer today in Psalm 51. This is, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. He goes on in Psalm 51, you're the one I've violated, God. You've seen it all. You've seen the full extent of my sin. Surely I was sinful at birth. Then he says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. When we remember when Jesus is on the cross in John's gospel, they give him the water that's on the hyssop as a reference to this psalm. And then in verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. It's a prayer that we've prayed for thousands of years, and different people come to that prayer in different ways, but it's this sort of this moment of vulnerability. God, I know that I've not been the person that you've called me to be. Give me a clean heart. Renew my spirit within me. It's the honesty that really strikes me in this. And how there's this phrase that's used and a truth that I think about a lot more as I've gotten older, and that's this: never lie to your doctor. Yeah, don't lie to your doctor. If they ask you if you get exercise and you say yes and you don't, it's not doing anybody any good. Don't lie to your doctor. That's something to think about, isn't it? To be perfectly honest, doctor, I eat foods that are not good for me, and all blah blah blah. And then maybe there's a diagnosis. Maybe you could really look at these things and that those other things and create some things to think about and maybe a new way to behave and maybe there's a diagnosis. Don't ever lie to your doctor. And I think it's the same when we come to this moment of vulnerability with our own lives. It's so hard sometimes for us to be honest with how we're really doing. And yet we get this assurance that Jesus welcomes sinners to the table. He got in a lot of trouble for this. He was doing this a whole lot and got a lot of grief from the Pharisees and from those that found their righteousness within their works and things like this. And he says this our next slide here is Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. He says, they ask him, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is a good news for us as sinners. And sometimes it's hard to really diagnose that. And I think of some things that would really help. I visited one this past week as I was thinking about putting this together, and that was all about. It's John Wesley and his questions for small groups. Because John Wesley had this experience where he was trying so hard to live this righteous life so that God would love him. You know, trying so hard to do the right thing, and it was just so much that it was just killing him. He was trying to live each day and is just very rigid and legalistic and that spread on to others, and he was just feeling like a complete failure within himself. And in 1738, he went to this study, and this is a famous thing that happened where he felt his heart was warmed. And he said he felt this assurance of pardon, that his sins were forgiven. He said, "Even mine." But then he knew that he couldn't do it by himself. He knew that for it to really have effect, he needed the community. He needed others to be accountable. And so he started these small groups that would meet and they would go over these questions for reflection. And when I read these questions from, you know, a couple hundred years ago, I read them last week, and they were so right now for me. And I thought, there's so many of them that are so convicting that they're kind of overwhelming to take all at once. And so I printed them on the back of your bulletin. And you can take these home with you and work on them, but it's kind of a way to diagnose how you're doing, really, and to offer that up to Christ. Let's look at some of those questions for reflection. And I won't do this, but I thought would be really a kind of a vulnerable thing if you all stood up. So don't do it, but imagine yourself standing up. And when I read a question for reflection that you're kind of wrestling with, that you need help in, then sit down. Okay? Just do that in your minds. If you're at home, you can do that at home. Am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I am better than I really am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Am I honest in all my acts and words, or do I exaggerate? Boy, I can exaggerate with the best of them. Do I confidentially pass on to another what was told to me in confidence? Can I be trusted? Am I a slave to dress, friends, work, or habits? Am I self-conscious, self-pitying, or self-justifying? Did the Bible live in me today? Do I give it time to speak to me every day? This is one that struck me this week, and it's the question, am I enjoying prayer? I didn't say, are you doing it? Are you praying? It's different. Am I enjoying prayer? Now, I'm convicted by that question, and I'm going to keep that question with me in my mind, and I'm going to do something about it. So when I'm praying now that I've been wrestling with that question, I'll walk the dog through the neighborhood and pray and enjoy every single step of prayer. Start praying for, I enjoy this so much. But before, I was just kind of walking the dog, thinking about other things, looking at my phone. not enjoying prayer, just sort of doing it as I went about my day. Enjoying. You see what I mean about these questions, that one question might hit you really hard or really leap out for you right now. When did I last speak to someone about my faith? Do I pray about the money that I spend? Do I get to bed on time and get up on time? Do I disobey God in anything? Do I insist upon doing something about which my conscience is uneasy? Am I defeated in any part of my life? Am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Anybody standing up? How do I spend my spare time? Am I proud? Do I thank God that I am not as other people, especially as the Pharisees who despise the publican? Is there anyone who I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold in resentment toward, or disregard? If so, what am I doing about it? Here's one. Do I grumble or complain constantly? Is Christ real to me? If you were convicted by any of these questions, if any of them sort of resonated with you, then don't lie to your doctor. It won't do you any good. There is a time of openness and honesty, a time of really needing one another to be the best people that we can be, to be the people that God called us to be, a time of unburdening. And we do that when we confess our sins before God and one another. And when we do, there's a promise. It's in 1 John, right here, this promise. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I had a friend at a church that I served who came to me with some criticism. He said, Pastor Dan, I love your sermons about love and hope and Jesus. He goes, but I want you to say something sometime that makes my toes curl up because I'm so convicted. That's one of those times where we come to this point of honesty and openness before God, and we know that how much we need it. We know how much that we're bogged down by things that we need to let go. Maybe that's one reason why church. That Jesus came for the sinners. And that we're invited in that time. There was a confession that we will say here in just a moment from our Methodist hymnal. It's on page 12. But there was a confession that I found this week that really sort of seemed to sum up this whole topic about God's love and forgiveness and this type of grace. And it's a grace that we call sanctification, but really it's growing in grace to be the people that God calls us to be. And this confession was from the Presbyterian Church. And I want to read this first slide, and then we can all join in on the second one. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, and too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Amen.